So Anna, it's so great to sit down with you here. This is our very first time doing a podcast in this form.
Yeah.
And you're our very first guest. So thanks for joining me here today. So why don't you just share a bit about who you are? Give us like a little glimpse into who is Anna.
Yeah, I'm a wife to Luke, mom to Ainsley, fur mom to Piper.
Nice.
daughter of the King, follower of Jesus, and friend to the Holy Spirit. I wear a number of hats, like for work and home, and I'm home part-time with Ainsley. I run my own consulting company, so that's allowed us some flexibility in our life to, you know, be there at pickup. And I also volunteer coordinate our Alpha program here at WMB. And all of those sometimes add up to more than a full-time job, but balances. Always. I'm always in pursuit of balance.
Yes, absolutely. I totally get that. So the fact that you're a consultant means you can give me all life advice, right? Like that's what consulting means, right?
I consult on marketing.
Okay.
So,
and a little bit more niche.
Mostly marketing systems. So if you have a marketing system, I can help with
that. So at the very least, you can make my social media way better. That's the very least.
I could try.
Okay, there we go. There we go. That's great. So you mentioned different touch points in your life and different aspects. What are some things that make you feel fully alive? This is a question I always love to ask.
I love this question. I've heard you ask it before. So Luke and I have a rhythm that we've developed over a number of years. There's a really great resource from Beating 50% that's a marriage journal. Mm-hmm. And we go through a set of questions every Sunday night. We have a date night. It is 2 hours alone, without distraction, without phones, without smartwatches. And that has just brought a ton of like vibrancy into our relationship and into our life. What else makes me feel fully alive? Stepping off a plane, like whether it be, so we went to.
Is that because you're thankful that you're alive? Or
well, yeah, we'll get to that. We'll get to that when we talk a little bit about my faith journey. But definitely, I do have a fear of flying. So you picked up on that quickly. But just like. We love to explore, whether it's in Canada. We had the opportunity to go visit Luke's best friend in Scotland this past summer. We try our best to get away somewhere tropical, but it's just like I love getting away from like the rhythm and routine. As much as I love my routine, I love kind of breaking out of that, and I find I come back with new ideas and like a renewed sense of purpose. And you know, especially if we're out in nature, just like the feeling of connectedness with God as well. And yeah, those are kind of like two things. But then the other thing is I like love to share the hope of Christ with people and like see that sink down deep in their hearts and in their lives. And that just feels like one of the biggest privileges and the biggest calling in my life so far. So
I love that. I love that. That's great. So we mentioned airplanes a little bit and you said that might be part of your faith journey. So now I'm very intrigued. This might be a testimony I was not expecting. Why don't you just briefly, in a few minutes, which I know is challenging, share your faith journey with us.
Yeah, so I've shared my testimony a few times. And every time that I prepare a testimony, I say to God, like, what do you want me to share? Like, tell me what part of my life to pick out. And so if people have heard my testimony before, this isn't the one I normally give. But when I was in my early 20s, I lost one of my best friends. She died in like a tragic, instantaneous car accident. And it was actually on one of my other best friend's birthdays. Mm. And it rattled me. I wasn't a believer. I didn't grow up a believer. I didn't necessarily grow up in church, though I, you know, had been to church a few times. And it just kind of made me like withdraw, retract, kind of like become scared of a lot of things that I didn't used to be scared of. So we traveled with my parents when I was younger. I no longer wanted to get on an airplane. She died in a car accident. I like very seriously said to Luke that I was considering wearing my ski helmet when we were driving. I just developed this like paralyzing fear that like bad things were going to happen. Mm-hmm. And so it made me like stay really stagnant in my life for a few years. We didn't really go very far. We didn't travel in the winter. It just became like a full-blown kind of phobia of like I just felt really paralyzed. Mm-hmm. And I stayed in the job that I didn't really love, and I was really having a hard time kind of like moving forward in life. Fortunately, Luke, you know, we were in a relationship. He stuck with me. He poured that love out on me, and unfortunately, things didn't get better. My grandmother developed a terminal diagnosis of cancer, and it wasn't until I was losing her that I realized something needed to change. Mm-hmm. And I was at Luke's parents' church. He was raised Baptist, grew up in a church just outside of Ottawa, and they were doing this Easter kind of play pageant thing. And someone was portraying Jesus, and Jesus was following around this woman on stage who was carrying a bag of garbage. And Jesus kept saying to her, like, give me your junk, give me your junk. And there was this moment where they said, like, you know, you have an opportunity now to, like, give Jesus your junk. And I thought, like, oh, Jesus, like, do I have a gift for you? And I did. I surrendered all of that. And some people, when that happens, it's like an instantaneous switch, right? And for me, it wasn't an instantaneous switch. It was like a slow building of my faith. It was, you know, people around me who were believers, like, encouraging me. And one of the things they encouraged me to do was Alpha. So I'm one of those random people that met someone on a plane that said, hey, have you heard of Alpha? And I was like, no. She was like, oh, you should go meet Henry.
It might have been my mother, because she talks to everyone on planes. So
it was someone actually my age. I was going out to visit my best friend, who was born on the date that Abby died. So they have that connection. Anyways, I was on a plane, and she was like, do you know who Henry is? And I was like, I have no idea who Henry is. I'm now best friends with Henry's daughter. Henry and the Alpha Course changed my life in terms of, you know, I surrendered my life to Jesus that day, but I didn't have any understanding of what that meant. And I didn't encounter the Holy Spirit and experience that deep peace that can be brought with understanding the Trinity and how the Holy Spirit can come into your life and just change everything until I took Alpha. And that was the turning point for me, was taking Alpha and starting to develop those relationships that were a lot deeper than any other relationship that I'd ever had in my life.
I love that. That is such an important testimony, actually. I don't even know if you fully realize how important a testimony that is, because I think so often when we think of the idea of testimony in our stories, we're always looking for those, like, big moments, right? Where it's like everything just became perfect and I had this peace that overwhelmed me. And sometimes that's people's stories. That's not my story either, right? Sometimes that is people's stories. But sometimes God meets us in the ordinary over the long haul, right? And there's little moments throughout that. But it's not just one moment. And I think that's really profound and amazing.
Thank you. When I normally tell it, I start with Ainsley. Because Ainsley is our, like, hallelujah. Ainsley is, like, that storm that broke, you know, 4.5 years of infertility that just, like, God was like, this is your moment. But today he wanted me to tell the story of the ordinary.
I love that. You did mention Alpha in that, though. That Alpha was one of those moments for you, but not just a moment, it was a part of that process, right? And now Alpha's playing a role in your life today. So why don't you just share a bit about how that came to be? What is Alpha? I know you briefly mentioned that, but just let's dive a little bit more into Alpha.
So here at WMB, we have courses, right? We have discipleship courses. And I would say Alpha stands apart from that, because Alpha is for people who are new in their faith or who have questions but wouldn't necessarily call themselves believers, right? So it's a really powerful, it's still a course. It's a powerful course that we can invite people to, right? We have a calling to create, you know, to go fishing for people and to bring them into that right relationship with God. And I think that if they have an opportunity to, in a no pressure kind of experience, you know, we do it over dinner. They come in, we have dinner, we ask them about their week, we go watch a video, and then, you know, we grab dessert and we chat, and they can ask huge questions. And some people do. Some people come with, like, a loaded arsenal of questions that they want answered. And some people just come and, you know, they might listen. Some people come for a week. Like the reality of Alpha is...
I've met Alpha participants at this church and other churches where they walk in the room and they're literally like, I actually don't really know why I'm here.
Yeah.
But I just know I need to be here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the reality, right? The first 4 weeks, we often see 50% drop off.
Yeah.
And that doesn't scare us, right?
Yeah.
You actually shared a story this past weekend that I'd love for you to share again because it illustrates something really powerful with Alpha. So do you mind sharing it again?
Yeah, absolutely. So my brother-in-law, when him and my sister started dating, he wasn't a Jesus follower and he really knew nothing about Jesus. But through my family, he was starting to hear obviously more about Jesus, and we were trying to share Jesus' love with him. But then Alpha became one of those things where it was a part of his journey in the sense of it all started to click.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the be-all end-all of it, right? It wasn't like, oh, this is it.
Yeah.
But it just started, like your testimony, things just started to progress, and those answers started to come, and even living in the tension of the questions, he was able just to process that more. And it was a beautiful thing in our family, just seeing it, how it transformed his life in the sense of it just really opened the door.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I think when we're just like with people who don't know much about Jesus and have that curiosity, sometimes it's like, okay, I know my Bible.
Yeah.
I know all about Jesus, but like, where do I start?
Yeah.
Right. And sometimes Alpha just opens that door and kind of gives you that guiding point. Yeah. Where you can start those conversations.
Yeah. And the thing that I love about that story is like you talk about Alpha as a touch point.
Yes.
Right? It doesn't need to be a trigger point. For some people it is. Some people come to Alpha and they have this like transformative experience, right? Mm-hmm. And there's other people who come to Alpha and they're like, I didn't quite get it. I still have so many questions. And that is like the best starting point for those questions to progress, right? There's people who have taken Alpha who are now like, you know, talking to some of the pastors here, talking to some people who have been at the church for a long time about those questions and kind of like digging into their Bible and understanding what that looks like. And I think that like just being a touch point, right? Yeah. There's people who come to Alpha, like there was one person who we finished our winter session and she had come three times and it wasn't until winter that she like did the whole thing.
Yeah.
And we encourage that, right? Like we know that people's lives are busy. It's an 11-week course. Yeah. It involves a weekend retreat, which is the best part, so don't skip it.
Totally.
But we get it. And so we hope that it can be a touch point in people's lives where they can get answers to some of those questions that have been nagging at them or just talk openly with other people who are still stumbling through their faith like we all are.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and I love that. And I love how everyone's story is different.
Yeah.
And we can live in that. And there's beauty in that,
right?
There's beauty in how everyone's story is different. What is one story that maybe comes to mind of where you just saw God at work at Alpha? You mentioned that one woman there, but what's another story that just, when you think Alpha, just is at the forefront of your mind?
Yeah, so I asked Nikki for permission to share this story, but Nikki came to Alpha the first time we ran it. And she was so removed and shy and like, I'm not sure that she spoke. Like it was one of those moments where I was really not sure we were getting through, right? And that's where the Spirit takes over. Like we always say, like, we're just here to be vessels, like help us be vessels. That's our prayer. And Nikki's life is completely transformed. Like she did Alpha and then she came back and she did it again. And then she became a helper. And her biggest fear at the beginning was like talking, right? Yeah. And then Nikki got up this past fall and gave testimony in front of our Waterloo location, which was like packed. I think it must have been like a 400 person day. And like, I am just so proud of her. Like she'll like send me voice notes and she'll ask me about questions she's digging into. And you know, she'll tell me about her day. And she, when I first met her, she really wanted to go back to school, and that was like something that was really like on her mind. And she's done it. She's gone through. She's like got like all these like numbers and letters and things behind her name now. And it's just like that transformation is just so cool.
Impacting her whole life.
Her whole life.
Her whole life.
Like it's like if you showed me Nikki from, you know, when we first did it that June day at our retreat to today. It's like they're two totally different people.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
And it's like just joy incarnate.
I love that. I love that. We've talked about some people, maybe this is even, it sounds like this is part of Nikki's story too, that at the start are a little bit on the fence of joining Alpha rather.
Yeah.
And I think that's very fair. I mean, it can be intimidating. It's something you kind of got to push yourself to do. You maybe won't know anyone there, right? So that can be intimidating too. So there's many reasons why to be on the fence about it. But what would you tell someone who's maybe on that fence and just an encouragement for why Alpha is worth it?
So when we do the advertising, it says try Alpha.
Yeah.
Like that's what I encourage everyone. Just try it. Like if you come and it's not your thing, I'm not going to judge you. No one's going to judge you.
Yeah.
If I see you at church, I'm going to be like, hey, how's it going? Right. Yeah. There's lots of people that start and stop. But I think there's also people who come for the dinner, right? Mm-hmm. Like they don't have community or companionship in their day. It's a great time to come and have dinner and chit chat. And, you know, maybe they're not ready to dive into those questions, but they want to listen. And so I encourage everyone, just try it.
Yeah.
80% of the people that come because of a personal invitation. And I think that is the power that, you know, if you're listening and you belong to church, like that's the power that we have is to invite someone into that relationship.
Yeah.
And I always encourage people to go with them because it's so much better when you know someone.
Yes.
Even as a leader, like when I did Alpha the second time here at WMB, this will be my 11th Alpha.
Wow. We're starting. 11th Alpha. Wow.
I'm an alphaholic. That's what we say when you've done it more than twice. You're an alphaholic. But yeah, there were two people that showed up. One was Isabel from our congregation, and the other one was Lisa. And they showed up the first night. I didn't know who was going to be there because I wasn't really involved in coordinating. And it was like just this huge moment of like reunion, right?
Yes.
And it honestly becomes a little bit of a party on Monday nights. Yeah. Like everyone's excited to see everyone. So
I love that. I love that. So we are doing Alpha here at our Waterloo site coming up in just a few months, and we're going to continue doing it in Kitchener too. So we've talked about what it looks like to be an Alpha participant.
Yep.
And we've mentioned invite, which I think is one of the most profound ways that we can partner with Alpha, right? Inviting. Yeah. And I talked about that here in Waterloo this past Sunday. What are some other ways that we can partner as a church with Alpha?
Alpha doesn't exist without prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer is a huge part of our Alpha program. We pray when we get there. We pray when we end. We pray over dinner. We pray over small group for people who are helping the table leaders. We ask them to pray at the tables, right? And so that's my call for anyone who wants to support. Maybe they're not in a season of life that they can, you know, help in the kitchen or come be a table host. Mm-hmm. It's just to pray. Pray that people find the program. Pray that they're able to, well, find childcare if they need it, that their schedule can be cleared. Pray for, you know, the coordination and everyone who needs to be there being there. That's our goal. Mm-hmm. Our doors are always open. And we just always pray that, you know, God brings the people who need to be there.
I love that. I love that. And how can we, as we wrap up here, how can we be praying for you in that season?
Yeah.
Or in this season, sorry. Like, maybe that's Alpha, maybe that's something in your personal life. We just want to be able to be praying for you. So how can we pray for you as a church?
So I've been meditating over John 14:27, which is from the CSB version, is, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled or fearful." And I think sometimes it can be hard to walk in our calling. Mm-hmm. Right now in church, we're going through the gifts. Mm-hmm. And some of my giftings are challenging, right? Like, I would love to have the gift of mercy.
Yeah.
And I am gifted in leadership. Like, I am the person who like, drives towards that vision. And I think right now in this season, I just want to be reminded to walk in my calling. Like, God has called me into this position in my family. here at the church and like in the community. And I just want to be able to live into that and to feel peace about that and not fearful of, you know, the things that I don't have and the giftings that I don't have, but just to walk in that calling that he's given me.
Thank you for that. That is a word I think we all need. And for us all, as we navigate through the spiritual gifts series as a church, and even just looking inward and navigating that, that is a word we all need. Why don't we close with prayer?
Yeah.
Pray for you, and then we'll wrap this up. Lord, thank you for Anna, and thank you for how you've worked in her life, Luke and Ainsley and their entire family. Thank you for this testimony of your grace in her life, and how you have walked with her through all these twists and turns, ups and downs, and everything in between. And Lord, as we look towards the next few months with Alpha, and then also the many other things that come into the picture of Anna's life, Lord, we just pray that you will give her peace in her calling. We've been talking a bit about spiritual gifts here at the end, and just pray that you will just lead her and show her the way, the path that you have for her in her life, and that she can stay on that path for your glory. Lord, we just lift up Alpha to you. We lift up these coming Alpha sessions and just pray that your spirit will move. And Lord, thank you for the testimony of Alpha already here in our church. And I just pray that this coming one will again just be a time that we can surrender to you and just watch what you're going to do. In your great and holy name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, thank you, Anna. Thank you for being our very first podcast guest, and or at least in this edition of the podcast. And we appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, thanks for inviting me. I appreciate it too.
Great.